travel is an investment, so you want your trip to be as much fun as possible and as hassle-free as possible. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rick Seney is the CEO of FairCompare.com, and he comes by pretty regularly to help you plan the best air vacations possible while making sure that you're a smart traveler as well. And Rick, always great to have you with us. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me again. For I think the last count was this is the 17th time.
Oh, my goodness. It's been that many? That's wonderful.
Looks like it.
Well, I've got one little story to share right off the bat. We flew to Florida and for the first time took a flew by Southwest. And During the trip, we were supposed to be there for 9 days, but one of the people on the trip had to come back early and phoned Southwest. And I thought, okay, it's going to be $100 or whatever change.
No change fee.
No change fee. In fact, the flight that she got back was $10 less. And so that was $10 was taken off the credit card.
Yeah, absolutely. No, Southwest is they are the only airlines that don't have a $200 change fee. You have the major airlines, Delta, United, and American, that have a $200 change fee. JetBlue has a little bit smaller change fee, and Alaska Airlines a little bit smaller change fee. But Southwest continues to have no bag fees and no change fees. If you have any flexibility issues or you think you may have to come back early, Southwest is your best bet.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you have an article on FairCompare.com about four reasons to watch for fall's magic date to fly. And what is that magic date?
Yeah, so the magic date is August the 25th. I know we're sneaking up on it here in the next week or so, but that is the magic date. That's a travel day, not a purchase day. When airlines basically treat the summer holiday as the, by the way, the airlines have treated this past summer as though it was Christmas or Thanksgiving as an entire holiday. Yeah. And the prices drop dramatically. I've seen prices drop anywhere from 20 to 40% for travel on or after that date. And it roughly corresponds with kids going back to school. People have less flexibility. They're all sort of sorting out, and there's just less travel demand during the fall period. And airlines have to continue to fill those empty middle seats. So cheaper prices help them do that.
Yeah, that's really, if you can do it, if you don't have kids.
I think it's the best time of year personally because I rarely ever do I have an empty middle seat next to me. And I do in the fall periodically, especially when we get a little bit deeper in the fall and early into the winter and in the first couple weeks in November, the first couple weeks in December. It's those flights sometimes can be a ghost town.
What is the percentages of filled flights? I haven't been on a flight I can't remember the last time.
Yeah, they're in the high. It's in the high 80% now. Historically, 5 or 6 years ago, it would have been the high 60%. So when they say it's in the high 90%, just assume that your flight at any time between sort of 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. is completely full, or coming back between 4 and 7, because those extra 10% that aren't, those seats aren't filled, those are red eyes and a variety of other ones that really nobody wants to fly.
Yeah. You also have an article on FairCompare.com about why a connecting flight can be a better option than a nonstop. And
yeah, no, it's really simple. Airlines, especially this summer and as you get in the fall, they actually monitor their schedules. They look, do I have a nonstop? Can I charge more for my nonstop? How much more can I charge for my nonstop? And they're continually probing to charge more. I've seen nonstops compared to connecting flights. In some cases, I've seen 50 to 70% difference in the price points between those two. They are really charging a super, super hefty premium for convenience.
Wow. So, and you might be able to squeeze in another city in a way, too.
Yeah, you can. If you're going domestically, you have a four-hour connection period. But if you are going to the Caribbean, because it's an international gateway, you can have a 24-hour period. A lot of people will stop in Miami and use that 24-hour connection period. Even the airlines suggest that. I did that actually once coming back from the Caribbean right before the Orange Bowl. I guess it was a couple of years ago, and got to partake in some of the festivities for one night and didn't have to pay for an extra stop.
Oh, and sometimes kids need a break or Or even the adults.
Yeah, especially on international flights. You have 24 hours for that particular connection. I rarely would fly over the Pacific without stopping on the West Coast and taking an actual night, because that is one of the roughest flights out there.
Yeah. Rick Cini, our guest today, CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com. You may have a question. Are you looking for an airfare? Have you suffered some sticker shock as a result?
Yeah, and there has been some sticker shock, Larry.
Oh, man, I guess so. Give us a call with your questions or experiences at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org. Or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And not to dwell on Southwest, but the other thing about Southwest I've discovered was no assigned seats.
Yeah, they have a boarding process where you basically group up in groups of five. This changed several years ago. So you, basically you get on the flight, you have no assigned seats, but you are boarding in a group level. You can pay a cut in line fee. By the way, I have my father-in-law come up, and I always pay the cut in line fee, so I'm a really good son-in-law. And yeah. You get to pick your seat, especially if you're in their first four or five groups of five. You can pretty much sit wherever you want, and as long as you're in the first half, which is usually about 65 to 70 people, you can usually find a place to put your carry-on.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrea in Green Bay has a question. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, I'm so excited to be able to ask this, because I've been dealing with trying to figure out what to do. Every year for the last couple years, I've taken my two boys and my husband, we've gone out west skiing for Christmas, and it's my 50th birthday on Christmas Eve this year, and we want to do something. So I'm trying to decide where to go that would be reasonable, either hot or cold.
Hot or cold. Well, clearly, hot is expensive.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to the Caribbean. It depends on what time. Do you want to go over actual Christmas or the week after?
Well, we would probably want to leave maybe either the 23rd or 24th, and then forever, you know, get home at least by New Year's.
So let me give you some options there. So historically, and out of Green Bay, you're going to pay about $100 more round trip than if you go out of Milwaukee, for example.
Okay. So we could do that too. We could drive down.
Per person, yeah. You're going to pay sort of that little connector fee to get to a hub airport like Chicago or Minneapolis. But if you're going, if you want warm, you basically have two places in the U.S. you can go warm. You can go San Diego, L.A., or you can go Florida. Which are very, very popular and are going to be about half the price of going to, for example, Cancun, Cozumel, or some of the Caribbean locations. Puerto Rico would be your cheapest if you're going to go there. The next would be the Bahamas. And then if it gets a little more expensive as you go to Costa Rica in Latin America. So those are your basic warm options. And then if you're going to go cold, it sounds like you may be skiers or whatnot.
Yep.
Everything going to the East Coast, to the Vermont location, locations for skiing is about twice the price as going west.
Is that right?
We prefer west. We've gone to Jackson Hole before. But
yeah, Jackson Hole, Salt Lake, Denver area with all its different resorts. You also have the Reno area with its different ski resorts. They tend to be about 30% less than going to the Caribbean.
Okay. And what about Europe?
Well, Europe, that would be the perfect time to go. I mean, that is the absolute cheapest time to go. So right now, there's a couple things driving the prices to Europe, transatlantic travel. The average fuel surcharge is about $438 right now, with taxes and fees running about $160. So you're looking at about $600 minimum. But I've seen tickets even for that time frame, during the Christmas time frame, that you can get tickets around $750 to $800 round trip. That means the airlines are charging $75 each way.
Huh. Awesome. Thank you so very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling, and good luck. Sounds like she's got there's going to be a fun trip in the family there coming along about Christmas.
She's got lots of options there. I'm sure she'll be out shopping here shortly.
John in Chippewa Falls up next. Hi, John.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My family's going to Brazil in February, and we are wondering when the best time to get our tickets, if we have to get them before our travel visas. We obviously have our passports already. So, Dan, we're going to Salvador, Brazil.
So heading to Brazil that time of year, clearly it's sort of on the opposite calendar as far as the season. So that, you know, that's going to be winter and it'll be their summer there. So it's not super high season, but it is a little bit busy. Typical tickets out, if you're flying from, for example, Chicago or Minneapolis out of the bigger hub airports, would be around $1,400 to $1,600 in coach. They're actually more expensive than going to Europe, especially if you're going to be transiting through Sao Paulo, which is the most popular connection point. You basically have almost every airline that flies that, the bigger airlines out of Chicago and Minneapolis. And you need to start shopping for that ticket about 5 months in advance. So you're way early right now, right? So you need to be waiting about a month and a half or so before you start to shop for that ticket, and you're going to look for that particular price range.
Okay, do we have to have our ticket before we go to Chicago to get our travel visa?
No, you don't have to. You can get your visa separately. You do not have to have your actual itinerary to get your travel visa.
Okay.
And you have... Yeah, and you have alerts. John could sign up for an alert.
Sure, yeah. If you just come to our site and type in your departure date and your destination, whenever the prices start to drop, and we'll even send you a note initially, and we'll let you know when prices start to drop there. So it's a pretty expensive route. There's American Airlines has a huge chunk of that traffic, so usually you have to connect with American unless you go to on a few of the flights that Delta and United have. And out of the Wisconsin area, American's not as big a presence, so you have to typically go through Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John, for calling. Tikan, thank you for calling from Cudahy.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling because I usually buy my tickets online, like many people, and I always try to be smart and look way ahead of time, and I noticed that the prices never go down once I start looking, no matter how far in advance I look. And I'm sort of nervous that it's because the cookies are tracked, or, you know, once, you know, they know you're looking, if you're looking through the computer and you start seeing the ads everywhere, every website you go to, you see the ads for the airlines and for travel. And I'm wondering how to avoid that sort of trap, or if, you know, I'm even wondering if it's real or if it's just a coincidence.
Well, I've written several columns on USA Today and ABC News about the myth of cookies changing your price. If airlines got caught, and by the way, there's literally thousands of airline employees that are in the food chain of actually what pricing goes on. If they were caught actually keeping the price up just by looking at your cookies, the Department of Transportation and the FAA would come down on them very hard. Now, do they do look at cookies for advertising, for checking out whether or not you went to the site and looking at your particular behaviors and what emails to send you, for example, if you've signed up for their lists? But the cookies themselves don't drop the price. I think what happens is if you'll sign up for alerts, you'll see prices do drop. The problem is that when you're shopping, they don't, right?
Yeah.
And that's very difficult, right? You have to know when they actually drop. If you're shopping, for example, six months ahead of time, prices don't drop at all ever. They start to drop around 3 months before departure domestically. And that's when airlines are probing. They don't really know how many seats they're going to sell. They'll throw a few cheap seats in. If they sell quickly, they won't throw many in again. And every flight is actually managed by the airline separately. So if some flights that have a really bad connection could be really cheap, and the ones that have really good connections or nonstop could be extremely expensive. So
there you have it. We'll talk some more about that. Take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back with our guest Rick Cini. Stay with us. Travel is such a fun activity, but sometimes the stress and hassle of planning and trying to get a good flight at a decent price can make it a little less enjoyable. Larry Mueller here. Hey, we've got somebody to help you out with that. Rick Cini, founder and CEO of FareCompare.com, with us today, helps us navigate the world of airfares and keeps us informed of trends that he sees in the industry. And Rick, always great to have you with us. Thanks for taking time.
Sure, sure.
We really appreciate it. And so many callers always. The number to call, by the way, with your question, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and certainly love to hear from you. Brian from Facebook wondered, family of three looking to go to Korea next August. So a year from now, when might be the best time to book flights?
Yeah, so again, those international trips, and I just got back from Korea this year, had a great trip to Seoul. And you want to start shopping about 5 months before. So in August, that means around the March time frame, March and April time frame, you need to start shopping in earnest for that ticket. You do not have to have a visa in order to go to Korea. There's a visa waiver program, so you're good there. So that'll save you at least with a family of three, $150 to $200.
The last flight that I had, which was less than a month ago, I sort of got lucky and got in the line for the folks who had already gone through the pardon program or whatever it's called, and I didn't have to take my shoes off, and I didn't have to go through all that, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, you know, they just announced a week ago that they're going to stop picking people randomly to go through the TSA pre-check line, which is basically pre-9/11 screening, so you keep your shoes on, your liquids in the bag, your computer's in the bag, and you go through a metal detector instead of a body scanner. So a lot of people that signed up for that, it cost $80 for 5 years, were upset because they were randomly picking people to go through that, and they weren't really trained to go through, and it was slowing everything down. So it looks like TSA has backed off of their random selection of folks unless you actually pay for it.
Oh, so about $80 for, I'm telling you, it was so nice.
Yeah, in fact, you're even better if you're going to be traveling international, doing a program called Global Entry, which includes pre-check for an extra $20, so $100 for 5 years. It also lets you bypass immigration and customs and agriculture and all that very quickly by just basically putting your hand on a scanner and taking your fingerprints.
Yeah, that, I'm seriously considering that.
It saved me at least, I think I've been on 5 international trips this year. It saved me at least 14 hours in the airport.
Ugh. Joanne in Minocqua has a question. Hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, hi. This is Joanne from Minocqua. I was curious to know, I'm planning a trip to Australia in February, March of next year, and I've heard you say that 5 months in advance is a good time to be looking for international flights, and I'm going to Perth from probably Warsaw.
Yeah, so if you're flying from Warsaw, you're going to connect to one of the big hub airports that's probably going to be either Minneapolis or Chicago nearby. So mm-hmm. If you look at ticket prices, for example, from Chicago, are you going to Sydney? Is that where you're heading? Or are you going to New Zealand?
No, I'm going to Perth, Western Australia.
Okay, so you're going to Perth.
Yep.
And so right now, if you, for example, the ticket prices range from sort of the $1,650 to $1,700 range, all the way up to about $2,200, depending on when you buy.
Yeah.
It's a very long flight. I personally like to buy sort of a ticket to the West Coast, a domestic ticket, and then buy separately because usually the tickets out of the West Coast are much cheaper. But if you're buying in that range, it's a pretty big range, but you need to start shopping. You said you were going in February, right?
Yeah.
In February, yeah. So that'll be their summertime, which is a little bit in the – it's sort of a little off-season, not quite off-season for them. So you want to start shopping. You're getting close to that date right here in the next month and a half or so. And mm-hmm. I'm looking at the dates right now for that particular time frame in February. And I see flights out of Chicago at the moment for – and you're going to stay 2 weeks, did you say?
We're going for a month.
Okay, so you're going to stay 30 days. So I would stay exactly 30 days because some of the tickets say if you stay more than 30, they raise the price on you.
That's what I was going to ask, if that changed things.
Yeah, so 29 or 30 days. Right now, the ticket prices drop pretty dramatically for travel in February from around the 1900 to 2000 range down to about the 1680 range. So depending on what day you leave, I can see, for example, if you leave on Monday, February 2nd and return on March 4th, there's a $1,600 ticket right now
on a
combination of American and Qantas. So that's a great price. So if mm-hmm. I'd scoop that one up, that those dates are February 2nd through March 4th.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, get right on that, Joanne. Brian in Burlington has a question. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. Last January, we were supposed to go to Hawaii one day before I had triple bypass surgery. U.S. Air wants $200 per to change fee for five tickets, that's $1,000. And then there's another $75 hooked in there somewhere. So anyway, anything you can tell me about getting out of that $200?
Well, basically, if you have non-refundable tickets, there's two things that happen. One is they have the penalty, which is $200, which is, it's even worse because it's not only the $200 times five people, it's the difference in the new ticket price for what you change it. So if the ticket's more expensive, you also have to pick up that as well. And if you do that over the phone, they're going to charge you $25 for the phone call.
There's
not a lot of you could do. I doubt that you bought trip insurance, or you'd be saying, hey, my trip insurance worked or it didn't work in this particular instance. Is it the entire family not going to go, or are you just trying to reschedule the trip later? And when do you think you could go again?
We have rescheduled it for November 6th, the week. November 6th.
So you've rescheduled it. So that extra $75 was probably the difference in ticket price. There's really not much you could do at this point. The airlines are really, there's no wiggle room there. I mean, if you had a medical condition, they do and sometimes waive those change fees for medical conditions if you can actually get a hold of the right person. But, and they do have some latitude. Certainly you can't do that online. You'd have to actually call.
Mm-hmm.
And see if they'll provide you what's called a medical waiver. So ask the person on the other end and see if they'll provide that.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it, I guess, unfortunately, but it turns into pretty expensive.
Yeah, you can't do it at the airport. Pretty much you have to call, and here's what I would do. I would call, ask for a supervisor, and typically I haven't seen it work very often, but sometimes if you throw yourself on the mercy of the court, sometimes it works.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. I want to give Kurt in Manitowoc a chance to join us. Kurt, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you. Really enjoying the show, Larry. Thanks for your work today.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about Amtrak and wondering if this is a good place to call or if he can direct me to another way to learn some things about an Amtrak trip.
I'm not a super expert on Amtrak. Now, I have taken Amtrak in the past just to sort of sample it, especially on the East Coast. They have several routes between Philadelphia and New York I've tried before. So you'll have to probably take if you come to our site, we have some resources and some folks that are more into the train stuff. So just come to farecompare.com, take a look and type in the keyword trains and Amtrak, and you should be able to find something. That's just not that's not my area of expertise. I'm not sure I could help you much there.
Well, thank you. This will be our family's first trip using a train, and so we're trying something different and something new, and just we're on a severe learning curve.
Yeah.
In fact, after this show, I'll go poke around a little bit myself. You have me intrigued.
Okay, there we go. Tell us a little more about faircompare.com.
Sure. FairCompare has been around since about 2007. We are one of the handful of companies in the world that are on the airline ticket stock exchange. We get airline ticket data for over 500 airlines every day. We have our own system that we built over that time frame that processes the data. And we're looking for all sorts of changes, when to do it, what time to go, what's the trade-off between weather, what day you should shop. And so we're trying to find insights into this crazy amount of data. We're actually a company that's a bunch of software geeks, and that's what we do. So I proudly wear that mantle.
Okay, there we go. And you're going to get the latest information. Right, so it's sort of real time, isn't it?
No, yeah, real time fees. Actually, we process, I think, just in the last day, over 30 million searches and over 5 billion different routes that we process. So we have, I think, now close to 300 computers that actually provide all that information.
Wow. Pat in La Crosse wants to avail herself of your expertise. Pat, hi.
Hi. Hi, Larry. Hi. We have a granddaughter that is graduating in December, actually December 12th in Nashville. So we don't want to drive out there because of the weather conditions. But what's the best time to start shopping from La Crosse to Nashville? We would leave on December 11th and come back after the weekend.
Right. So you're leaving on December the 11th. That is about 4 days before the airlines start really charging a lot.
So you're in good. Okay. That's a good time to move.
That's a perfect time, right? So if you look at that, how long are you going to stay?
Oh, I think we'll stay till the following Monday.
So you're gonna basically stay almost a week.
Well, we're leaving. That would be a Thursday. Graduation's on a Friday, and then I think the fairs are always better if you stay over a weekend. Is that not correct?
Well, the cheapest days to fly are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So there's no really Saturday night stay required domestically. That's only true for international flying.
Oh, okay. So we'd probably come back on Monday or Sunday.
Yeah, so I would definitely start shopping in the next week or two, right?
Okay.
I'm trying to look at some prices for you right there. Yeah, the prices go up dramatically on about December the 16th this year. Mm-hmm. So your best bet there on the 11th when you're leaving is I see prices out of La Crosse for just over $300 round trip to Nashville.
Ooh,
that's a pretty good price.
That's a
right
good
now.
Price out of La Crosse, I
yeah,
would think.
So I'm surprised actually. Let me take a look. I want to make sure that I'm getting the right number of days here. Yeah, it looks like you're in the low to mid 300s right now. So I'd buy that ticket right now.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yep. Thanks, Pat. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, that sounds to me like a really good price.
Yeah, I've seen, there's even a couple prices below 300 if you're willing to take a little longer connection through Minneapolis. So.
Hmm. John in Algoma is up next. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hey, hi, Larry. Great to talk to you. I had a question about travel to China. I'm actually driving down a road right now going 30 miles an hour with about 2 tons of hay behind me. So it's kind of an interesting
I'll try not to shock you.
but I very recently was selected to go on a delegation to China. And everyone is flying to Shanghai on their own, and then in-country travel is being handled by the Chinese. And it's in October. And I wonder where we can look for the best fares to get out of Green Bay and get to Shanghai with a return from Beijing.
Yeah, so if you're going to be
later.
Yeah, so we can look out of Green Bay. So typically that price point at that time of year is around $1,300 round trip, but if you're going to do it out of Green Bay, it's about a $400 kicker on there.
Wow.
So up to $250 to $300 if you actually want to take the little commuter flight from Green Bay typically to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So either you can go to Chicago and the prices are a little bit cheaper, or you can actually eat that $200 per person. It's very difficult to do that. So, but it is off time. So that is a pretty good price. If you can get in the sort of, $1,400 to $1,600 range to Shanghai. It's actually to Beijing. I'm seeing prices for actually $1,250 to $1,300. And just remember, the fuel surcharges on that route are across Trans-Pacific, I think, is like $600. Fuel surcharges and taxes are about $680. So that's a pretty good deal, about $250 each way.
Mm. There you
okay,
go.
So but better to go out of Chicago. And if
yeah, Chicago is going to be your best bet. Minneapolis, if it's closer.
We can do either, actually.
Huh?
We can do either, and what we usually do is travel down to Milwaukee, leave our car in the parking lot down there, take the train into Chicago, and go out of O'Hare.
Yeah, so that's definitely what I would do, and I'm seeing prices in the $1,300, and even on certain days in the $1,200 range.
Okay.
There you go.
Just a comment, Larry, for you about the person who called about Amtrak.
Yeah.
My wife and I have had the pleasure of traveling on Amtrak. Long distance a couple times in the last couple of years. We went around down to Albuquerque, out to L.A., up to Seattle and back to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Actually started the train in Milwaukee. And as far as making reservations is concerned, Amtrak may not like this, but their computer system for reservations is a kludge. And as a geek, you'll know what I mean. It's a total disaster and about 20 years behind in technology. However, they have absolutely the nicest personal assistance with a real person on the end of the line that I've come across in any travel venue in the United States. They are just wonderful. They will walk you through it. They'll find you the cheapest way to go. It's amazing the folks that they have at the end of the telephone. So,
well, that's good to know.
Takeaway is call the folks at Amtrak and talk to them. They will help you plan your trip and find the best way for you to go at the cheapest.
Yeah, I would also mention, too, right now, ANA is having a sale. It's Al Nippon, which is a Japanese airline. For $1,080, you can get from Chicago to Shanghai right now, round trip. So,
wow.
In the February time frame. So I would go check out ANA.
Yeah, but we're going in October.
Oh, I thought you said you were going in February.
No, that was the prior caller. We're going in October.
I'm sorry.
It's a very recent event that's come up, and we have an opportunity to go. So
should be looking,
scrambling to get everything together.
Yeah. There you go. Well, good luck. Sounds like a fun trip, John. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it very much. We have Ray in Cotton, Minnesota emailed us. We're using some credit card miles for vacation travel. Is there a best time to purchase our ticket when using credit card or airline miles?
Well, basically, if you have the miles, you should use them, by the way, because they tend to devalue every year. So I definitely would suggest that you use them if they're credit card points or airline miles. It completely depends on which airline and what route you want to go. So if you have credit card miles on one of these credit card companies that basically say any seat, any time, like Capital One, for example.
Yeah.
Basically, any time's good for you. It's mostly on them. Now, if you're doing it through Delta or United or American, for example, you have to keep a close eye on it because they switch inventory in and out all the time. So it's not like there's a perfect time to actually. A lot of people will say, look, I'm going to try to redeem these 11 months in advance. That's as far as you can actually redeem a ticket with an airline is 11 months in advance. But it's not like they have all these seats available at 11 months. They start to release them as they see that their flights are going to have a few extra seats. They may throw some more inventory into those award and redemption seats. There's just fewer and farther number of seats, especially domestically when you're using those points than they had. There's just no empty middle seats, so they don't put as much inventory with the award tickets.
Joanne's daughter has recently moved to the island of St. Croix. Tips for easiest and cheapest way to get there. I live in northwest Wisconsin, would likely fly out of Duluth.
Yeah, so if you're flying out of Duluth, you're going to, again, it's the airlines love that because you have to connect in either Chicago or Minneapolis. And they're going to charge you an extra $100 for that, the privilege of making that connection.
Yeah.
And then to get to St. Croix, typically just there's only a handful of flights out of Minneapolis and out of Chicago, or you have to connect typically from somewhere in Florida. So you're looking at a two-stop flight. And it depends on what time of year. Did she say what time?
She didn't say what time.
Yeah, so it follows the season. At the moment, right now, it's off season. You can get tickets fairly cheaply, but as it starts to get a little bit colder, the price typically goes up anywhere from 40 to 60%.
And to Jamaica on March 28th and returning April 4th, could leave from Milwaukee, Chicago, or Minneapolis?
Yeah, so we usually see sort of a probing sale around Thanksgiving time or early December, and then the airlines and everybody, all the employees go off for vacation, and then they have another sale in early January for that time frame. What you want to do is try to avoid spring break, because if you're trying to go during spring break at those particular times, you really need to buy that ticket in the December time.
And Tom in Middleton with a question. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, thanks for calling.
Hey, you bet. Would that same thing you were just talking about apply to San Juan, Puerto Rico, from Chicago or Milwaukee?
Yeah, San Juan actually has a lot more traffic. What's happened in San Juan is that American basically had the bulk of the flights there for almost a decade, and recently they basically pulled out almost, and JetBlue has all the flights into San Juan. Now, I'm not sure if JetBlue services what city you're out of, but they're the ones that have the most stops, so you have the same sort of problem now with San Juan that you do with St. Croix, although there is a few more flights, and it's usually typically about 20 to 30% cheaper than St. Croix.
Okay, yeah, we're thinking in January 8th, 9th, or 10th to leave and return on the 19th from either Chicago or Milwaukee.
You're going to get a great deal, because if you can wait 1 week after that first, after New Year's, and you need to start shopping for that ticket in about 3 or 4 weeks from now, that's when all the prices drop, because that's basically the period when everybody's back at work and you're in a perfect flexible period to get a great ticket price. You shouldn't have to pay any more than about $500 or $600 for that ticket.
Okay.
And most people that were paying the week before you were paying somewhere close to $1,000.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks, Dov. Thanks a lot. And Jan, a quick question from you from Missouri.
Yes, sir. Two quickies. My wife is planning a sabbatical to England this fall. She will end up in Egypt, and she'll be visiting places in between. So the first question is, does it pay just to buy one-way tickets, or is there some sort of open-ended return ticket you can buy? And then the second question, explain something about around-the-world tickets.
Sure.
We got about 30 seconds to
okay,
do
I'll
that.
Okay, I'll try to do that in 30 seconds. You can do what's called a multi-city search. You can do that. Our website doesn't specialize that in, but all the online travel agencies have what's called multi-city. Look for that option. Sometimes it's hidden, and then you can set up your trip. Around-the-world tickets are basically for the alliances. You have Oneworld, SkyTeam, and Star Alliance. If you go to their websites, they'll allow you to pick up a round-the-world ticket. Those are great if you are going to be traveling, for example, over a 2 or 3 month period. You can save a lot of money, and you have a lot more flexibility in changing your routes.
Rick, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, and we'll look forward to your 18th visit.
I'll mark it on the calendar.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Rick.
Larry.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Rick Seeney, go to faircompare.com. That's the organization that he leads. He's CEO of faircompare.com. And he'll be back, and we'll talk with him again. Jeff Epping of Olbrich Botanical Garden joins us tomorrow. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.